Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's football season and you gotta keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With four episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our friend and yours, Bob Pompiani, about to introduce the Steelers coach. Meanwhile, news out of Baltimore, Lamar Jackson. He's in for Thursday. Expected to start after that right hamstring injury, went through a walkthrough Monday and looked great, according to John Harbaugh. So, you know, the goal for that team is just to stay within two games of the Steelers and hope to sweep the Steelers, regardless of what their records are. It doesn't matter. That's the goal for Baltimore. In the meantime, the goal for the Steelers is to stop somebody when it matters. And all they have to do this week is control the number one offense in the NFL. Weapons, weapons everywhere, starting with good old Danny Dimes, but really Jonathan Taylor, who's an MVP candidate. I think he's the best running back in football. You?
I agree. And Tyler Warren might end up being Offensive Rookie of the Year, but Taylor, 3 touchdowns last week. Their offensive line is very strong. I'm a little concerned about the Steelers or the trenches in this one.
Part of me says just because every single trend and every single person out there is saying this is going to be bad news for the Steelers. You know, it's the NFL to go the opposite way, but I can't this week. I just can't. Yeah, Mike Tomlin doesn't have to work this week to make the opponents sound good because they have the best record in the AFC, and it is going to be a monumental challenge. Starting with Taylor, and Mike's going to talk about injuries. He's going to be asked about defensive adjustments. He may be asked about Slay's reduced playing time from the Packer game. There's a lot on the docket for the Steeler coach, Valdez-Scantling, joining the team, at least the practice squad.
Yeah.
And any second now, Bob Pompiani is going to hand that baton to Mike Tomlin.
He's wearing a great, I think it's orange. It's like an orange-red type of shirt.
Mike
or
Bob?
Very nice. Bob. He has a vest as well.
Of course he does. He looks great every day. One of the things I think Tomlin will also be asked about is the tight end situation with having 93 tight ends on his team and Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith just not getting the same action he got with Miami. He's on pace for 30 less catches and 500 fewer yards. And that hasn't come up in a news conference yet, and I wouldn't be surprised if it did today, Limits.
No, I wouldn't be surprised either. I mean, it was a little bit of a different story in Miami because there were a lot of injuries and Tua was banged up and they threw a lot of passes short. But I agree, Jonnu Smith was brought here and given a contract for a purpose, and they haven't utilized him enough yet.
All right. What's Bob doing anyway? He must be buying time like I am at this point, huh?
He is.
Any second but, now?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1?
3, 2, 1. Here is Mike.
Good afternoon. As always, I'll start with a quick review of our last performance. As I said after the game, man, just really disappointing on a lot of fronts. But probably the most important component of it is we didn't put 60 minutes of football together. felt like we were doing the things that we needed to do over the course of the first 30 minutes of action, although it wasn't perfect by any stretch. You know, you're always a little bit concerned when you're settling for field goals when you're playing good people. It seems like touchdowns is how it gets done in our business at this level. And so it was a little bit less than comfortable at halftime settling for three field goals. I think those drives were stopped by penalties and negative plays on first and 10. Put us in some second and long circumstances. We didn't perform very well in second and long, not only in the first half of the game, but in the totality of the game. It produced a lot of third and longs in the game. That's low percentage conversion rates for us. That's low percentage conversion rates for everyone, to be quite honest with you. We were in more third and longs in that game than we're comfortable with, and I think we suffered the consequences of that, particularly as the game wore on. On the other side of the ball, I thought a couple third down conversions in the third quarter were significant, not only in terms of keeping us on the field and producing touchdown scoring drives, but I thought it just changed the texture of the day. They got 60 yards on one third down conversion. They got 35 on another. That's 100 yards on two plays, field flipping plays, touchdown drive producing plays. And I just didn't think we did a nice job recovering from those. First and foremost, you don't want those plays to happen. But after they happen, I didn't think we did a good enough job recovering from that and finding our footing as a collective football group, offense, defense, and special teams, in an effort to make the necessary plays over the course of the last 15 minutes to win the game. Regarding those plays, we certainly need to be better in third down than we've been, but it doesn't necessarily mean dramatic changes in terms of schematics and things of that nature. If you look at those two plays, on the 60-yard play, the quarterback was hit as he let it go. And so it's details that are usually the difference when it's a millisecond. And on the other play, the 35-yard play, he got outside the pocket on us and extended, and we certainly got to do a better job of keeping him constricted in the pocket, man, and getting two guys at the catch point down the grass. And that's one thing that we didn't do in either circumstance. We play a lot of man-free concepts. It usually gives us an opportunity to get two guys at the ball down the grass. We didn't in those instances, and it produced field flipping, drive producing, touchdown drive producing plays that really kind of changed the texture of the ball game. But for us, you know, we view all three phases as an opportunity to win. We didn't make the necessary plays in the three phases to secure victory. There's some personality things that were concerning as the game wore on. The turnover component of the game is something that we value here, obviously, and is one of the building blocks for engineering victory for us. We turned the ball over in the second half. We didn't get any turnovers. I think that's the, you know, second game in a row that we didn't get any turnovers, and that hadn't been us, and we certainly need to get back to that component of our winning formula, protecting and preserving the football while taking it away from our opponents. That certainly is going to be significant this week when we lean in and play the Colts, man. They're a group that does that very well. From a health standpoint, before I get directly to Indy, I'll update you on a couple of guys. Scotty Miller, we talked about last week, man. He had a broken finger. It has been repaired. How functional he is will determine his ability to contribute or the level or the quality of that contribution. Daniel Akinwale has got an ACL injury that will definitively have him out. Deshaun Elliott can be declared out this week also with his hyperextended knee. Isaac Siamalu can be characterized as questionable with his pec injury. Just had a brief conversation with him in the training room. He's in a good mindset. He certainly is going to be limited at the early portions of the week, but he'll have a chance to contribute, particularly because he's a veteran player. He has some global snaps in his bank that could be an asset to him in terms of being ready to play on a limited number of snaps that maybe a younger player would not have. We got some other bumps and bruises, man, associated with play that may limit some people at the early portions of the week. and then we'll harden that up as we get closer to game time, but not expecting any of those guys to lack availability at the end of the week. Now on to Indy. Man, they're a really good football team, but they need no endorsement from me. Been watching the video over the last 48 hours or so. It is telling, to be quite honest with you. Starting first and foremost with their offense, they're high scoring. They don't punt very often. And the way that they're getting that done is pretty black and white. They got a rock solid offensive line that's been together, led by Nelson largely for a number of years. They do a really good job of controlling the line of scrimmage and getting hats on hats. They're a good zone scheme group. They're a good gap scheme, a pull scheme group. And obviously Nelson is a major component of that. Behind that collective, man, they got Jonathan Taylor, who is really on top of his game right now. But he has been for a number of years. I think in 22 and 23 he dealt with some injuries, but 24 through 25, you see his talents. He's significant. He's got great stop-start ability. He's got great short area burst and vision. He's got the long speed to finish plays, as evidenced by the 80-yarder that he had last week. But he's always been explosion play capable. When you play a guy like that, man, it's really an all-day job. Because of that home run hitting ability, we got to do a really good job of setting the edges. And certainly being in the appropriate gaps. They do a nice job of running the ball out of a variety of personnel groups and offensive formation structures that make you cognizant of that regardless of what they have on the field. Because they play so well behind Taylor in their running game, I think they've really done a nice job of preserving and protecting the ball, as I mentioned earlier. I think they got four turnovers on the season. Daniel Jones has been spectacular in that space. He's taking care of the ball. He's distributing the ball to a rock-solid group of eligibles now that's been together for a number of years. Pittman and Pierce have been together for a number of years. Pittman is rough and tumble. He's got the in-breaking routes. He's the chain mover, if you will. Pierce has always been a downfield threat, a guy that to get one-on-one down the grass with is a problem. And certainly coming off last week's performance, man, where we're in some one-on-one circumstances that were field-flipping plays, that certainly has our attention as we prepare today. But it's not just those two guys. They got Downs that plays in the slot as a capable interior slot receiver. They got A.D. Mitchell, man, a second-round pick from a couple of years ago who is really talented. And certainly they got their first-round pick, the young tight end out of Penn State, man, that hadn't warmed up to it at all. Man, he's plug and play, not only in terms of his playing ability, but their utilization of him. They use him in a variety of schemes. They get the ball in his hands early and often. Some of the things that you saw on video at Penn State, man, you see on video in Indianapolis. But that's why you take dynamic players like him that high. He's been an integral component of what they've been able to do offensively. Can't say enough about it. Kudos to Daniel Jones, man, and his ability to you know, redefine his narrative. But, you know, I doubt that can be considered an outlier today. It's a lot of pressure being a young quarterback, man, drafted high in the programs, man, that don't have a lot of traction. There have been a lot of examples of guys when given an opportunity to turn the page and get a new environment. The talents that made them high-round draft picks turn up, and certainly his is turning up in 2025 in this environment. But as I mentioned, man, he's in a stable environment. Shane does an awesome job with the offensive schematics. He's got a stable receiving group, guys that have been together for a number of years. He's got a veteran offensive line and running back who are on top of their game. And so when you put all of those things together, man, it's not surprising that he and they are doing well. On the other side of the ball, we're familiar with these guys from a personnel standpoint because we've played them quite a bit here recently. But it also is some new schematics, new to them, but not necessarily new to us. We've competed against Lou over the years from his years in Cincinnati as a defensive coordinator. I see some things that are certainly Lou. But he's certainly adaptable in terms of highlighting the talents of the men that he works with. It starts inside and up front with their defense. Buckner and Stewart are Grizzly veteran players, man, who are really good at what they do. They control the line of scrimmage. Stewart's really tough against the run. Buckner obviously is a dynamic pass rusher on the interior. They do some things to create matchups for him on guards, on centers, the schematic variations that you see, particularly in one-dimensional passing moments, really highlights their talents. They got a nice edge group that runs deep. They play a lot of people. They're multiple. It helps them on third down, man. They're getting a bunch of structures on third down. You can see nickel 4-2, nickel 5-1, dime 3-2, dime 41. Lou does a nice job of keeping you off balance by mixing up a variety of personnel groups, particularly in one-dimensional passing moments. At the linebacker level, man, got a lot of respect for Franklin. He's their defensive quarterback. I just appreciate a guy who's grown and developed within a system or a location. In playing them over the years, man, at the early stages of his career, he was a core teamer, and then he became like a rundown defender and then a support defender to Shaq Leonard, and then he became the defensive quarterback, and it's just been a nice fluid progression. He's a volume tackler. He has been for a number of years. He gets to the ball all over the field. He's a very good blitzer. Lou's using him in a very similar way that he used Logan Wilson from his time in Cincinnati. You can see some parallels in terms of preparing for these guys. They use Kenny at the nickel spot in a very similar way that they use Mike Hilton, for example, at the nickel spot in Cincinnati. Again, it doesn't make operating any easier, but it's certainly some nice things to draw from a familiarity standpoint, so that we can get better equipped or get a better understanding of some of the things that they're doing so that we can, you know, counteract that. But they're a great group. They're getting a bunch of turnovers, but they've been up on some people. People have been one-dimensional, and usually bad turns the worst, and they've benefited from that. They've done a nice job of preserving and protecting the ball. I think their point differential on the season is, I don't know, plus 150. And I think it's indicative of some of those things that we've been discussing. They're a really good group. They're rolling. They got really good momentum. It's an awesome challenge for us. I'm excited about the prep process that leads to performance. And so we got a big week ahead of us, man. But it's always nice to perform in Acrisure, and we're excited about that. I'll pause and open up for questions.
Right, Kemp said after the game that he didn't think that the team, the players, handle adversity very well. And he said if they start feeling sorry for themselves, it's going to avalanche. And he said that it was a clear case of that. Do you agree with that? Do you see that?
I certainly agree with that. As I mentioned, I don't think I like how we responded to the explosion plays, field flipping plays, drive producing conversion third downs that happened in the third quarter. I didn't think our offense responded very well to the non-call on the first third down of the half. And, you know, you don't always have control over what happens to you in game. Rest assured, some things are going to happen. There's ebb and flow over the course of 60 minutes. But in that instance, as a collective, we feel like we didn't respond in any appropriate or the desired way. We didn't smile in the face of it. We didn't produce the type of plays that counteract those things and get the balance back in our favor. And so we're certainly being critical of ourselves, and we're utilizing that as fuel as we prepare for our next opportunity.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's football season and you gotta keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With four episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike, so how do you fix that? Is it self? This guy's looking in the mirror. How do you fix it?
The first component of fixing it is acknowledging it. You really don't get an opportunity to fix it until you face those circumstances again. And so we spent some time acknowledging it. We're going to get back to work. We certainly believe that we work in the right spirit. We do the right things environmentally. We're going to get back to work, man, and wait for our opportunity to rectify it. You can spend a lot of time talking about your ills, but the true fixes come in stadiums. And so that's why sometimes I'm somewhat hesitant to respond to the how do you fix it question. There's certainly procedurally things that you go about doing that fixes it, but the fix happens in stadium and the rest of it is just talk.
Mike, you've got a pretty mature group, especially on defense. Should they, at this point in their careers, be able to handle adversity better than they did on Sunday?
You know, sure. Our kids should do what we tell them to do, but they often don't. You know, we all fall short of perfection, man. That's why we're always working as individuals and as a collective, whether it's football or life.
Yeah. Just one clarification injury-wise on Elliott. You said hyperextension. Is that actually a positive thing as opposed to what you thought you saw on Sunday night?
I didn't have any preconceived notions, and so I just have learned over the years to wait on clarity from the medical experts, and so I don't know that I had a perception.
Is week to week a fair standard to describe him?
It is.
Is he a candidate for injury?
We haven't discussed that at all yet, but you can characterize him as out for this week, certainly.
And when you look at the way that Indy's offense runs with Tyler Warren and those big tight ends, I mean, what do you miss when you don't have him on the field for that?
He's a significant component of what we do, particularly relative to some of the things that Indy does well. He is a central figure in our secondary in terms of run defense, for example. He covers tight ends oftentimes in passing circumstances. And so certainly we have some adapting to do in terms of how we divide the labor up this week. But that's always the case when you lose someone, particularly someone significant. It's not a one-person job. It's a multi-person job. And that's the spirit in which we're planning as we sit here today. There'll be several people given an opportunity to meet the demands of what he does for us.
Mike, what have you learned about playing against Shane Steichen over the years? Not just him coaching in Indianapolis, but also like you faced him in 2022 when he's OC.
I think the run game balance, the use of quarterback mobility, the corresponding play passes and misdirection passes, his ability to run the ball and pass the ball out of various offensive personnel groups and formation structures. His gun running game is really impressive. His quarterback up under passing game is really impressive. He's got a well-balanced and diverse attack. And he's got a specialized division of labor. You see it being played out in some of the guys that we mentioned, Pierce being a down-the-field threat, Pittman being a chain mover, et cetera. But that's usually the case when you're talking about good offenses, man. There's well-defined division of labor. There's versatility. There are multiple personnel groups and so forth. And all of that kind of reflects Shane and his group.
Mike, you said that you don't necessarily want to fundamentally change the scheme in some of these instances, specifically third down. But do you look at taking over sole play calling for defense or making adjustments?
No, that's not on the table as we sit here today. We just got to keep doing what we're doing and do it better.
There were some bold statements made early on before the season started about what type of defense this could be. Obviously, it didn't play out how you envisioned it, but what do you track that maybe disconnect up to from the early evaluation to what we're seeing play out?
We make no excuses about how or why we fall short. Our job is to perform and perform at a high level, and we haven't done that. And so I'm excited about getting back to it. Seven games or whatever doesn't make a season. We certainly got more in front of us and more opportunities to write our story, whether it's individuals, whether it's a component of our team, or whether it's our team in general. I think that's our general mindset.
Mike, Cam and a few others talk about not enough fight. Is that the same as handling adversity, or is that a separate issue?
I think it's all being described in a variety of ways. I didn't see or hear his words, and so I'm not going to speculate on what he meant. But Cam and I are usually aligned in terms of how we see things relative to this collective and what we need to do to push forward.
So did you see a lack of fight when you watched the tape?
No, I don't necessarily say a lack of fight in terms of effort. I'm talking about fight in terms of playmaking. You know, you don't get credit for trying hard. We're not in the try hard business. Our fight is about production and producing, and we certainly didn't produce enough plays over the last 30 minutes of the game, particularly in any of the phases, to secure victory.
You said for Cincinnati that you felt failure to stop the run was a component of not getting them into disadvantages down in distance. You largely stopped running against Green Bay, but they were still able to get there with short passing. Is that a similar problem that needs to be addressed?
No, I thought the run game wasn't an issue versus Green Bay. Certainly tackling in the passing game was. Tucker was a major component of that. We didn't do a good enough job getting him on the ground in particular. I think he had 100 yards of run after catch himself.
Last 2 weeks, quarterbacks have gotten the balls out really quick against your defense. How do you kind of counteract that and get more production from your pass rush?
I think that's been our life for a number of years. I think anytime you got dynamic rushers, I think that's the first way that you work to minimize them. I think that's everyone's agenda, to be quite honest with you, when they play us. To run the ball in an effort to stay on schedule, to minimize one-dimensional long yardage circumstances, and to get the ball out quickly. And so from that standpoint, it's nothing new. It requires no quote-unquote adjustments. Certainly, we can coach and play better.
Mike, when you guys install rules on, like, you know, for the defense to respond to different things as the pre-snap plays out and you're seeing these mistakes that continue to happen, how do you guys course correct on that? When it's like, hey, we've installed this, you know what it is, and it's still being a problem.
I think you're always putting 8 pounds in a 5-pound bag. I just think that's the nature of what we do as coaches. There's never completeness of work. You never can say, oh, we got that. Now, you got it until the next time something comes up. And that's not only defensively, but that's in all three phases of the game. You're continually tooling and retooling what it is that you do, making sure that it remains sharp. And when it doesn't, finding the appropriate fixes or alterations in an effort to keep concepts, people, or units going.
Sort of at that point then, Mike, what did you determine, what did you discover about where you guys are in the high red zone, kind of to your opening comments about some of the drives that stalled out? Aaron mentioned that as well in his post game.
Yeah, sometimes it's just about playing clean, you know. You get a penalty and it puts you behind the chains, or you have an ineffective first down play for a variety of reasons, and it puts you in second and long. That's kind of been our issues. Again, I don't know that it requires anything dramatic in terms of an altering of personality relative to plans or scheme. We certainly could put them in a better circumstance to minimize negativity, to minimize some of the penalties that have occurred, and certainly we can put them in better position to perform, and they certainly can perform better. It is certainly a component of the game that is significant for us, something that we value. We've largely been really good as an offensive unit in the red area, but we certainly were not, particularly in the high red Sunday night.
Mike, how do you evaluate the job that Terrell Austin's done to this point?
You know, I've known Terrell a long time. He's very capable. He's very thorough. I've largely been pleased with his work. But certainly he and I are not pleased with where we are right now from a defensive unit perspective, and so we're just going to keep working.
Mike, do you still see communication issues in the secondary, or is it just guys not finishing plays?
You know, in some instances it's communication, but communication is always strained in the secondary, particularly when you face with pre-snap shifts and motions. And so I'm not going to act like that's some earth-shattering statement. As I mentioned when we were talking about tooling and retooling, that's a component of coaching that you'll always be urgent regarding. Pre-snap communication, because week in and week out, the adjustments change, the shifts and motions change based on offensive units, based on the talent within those officer units, how you choose to deploy your people based on those things. And so there are alterations to communication and adjustments every week, and so there's always urgency there. We certainly can be better there, and we will.
You had Echols in over Slade late in the game. What went into that decision?
We were just playing. We were rolling guys. Echols has been good for us and is deserving to play, and we played him some.
Ranked last in the league in total defense, but you also haven't had a takeaway since the Dublin game. Which is a bigger red flag to you in terms of the way your defense is trending?
You pick. You know, I just think that, you know, they both are significant in terms of playing the type of defense that we desire.
How would you characterize the play of Slade? He only played about 50% of the snaps last game.
You know, he's been solid at times, certainly. He's left a few plays out there, but I think that's not only reflective of him, but reflective of the collective. You can say the same thing about us as coaches, starting first and foremost with myself.
Mike, it looks like you guys only had 10 guys on the field on that two-point attempt. How does that happen, and who's maybe in charge of making sure you got 11 out there?
Echols was in for Slay. Echols thought that they were going for one. I think he came off the field because he's not on field goal block, and we weren't able to get the transitional component of that. And that happens from time to time. When you're rolling a lot of people, you never like it. But the reality is the more people you play, the more complex rotations are, particularly when rotations get abnormal.
When you look at the lack of turnovers, is it more, or teams maybe just being more careful with the ball, or are you guys simply just missing opportunities?
I would imagine teams are working to be careful with the ball. I mean, I know we work to be careful with the ball. Sometimes it's just not taking advantage of opportunities. I know we probably dropped three or four balls against Cleveland, for example. And there's a price to pay when you miss opportunities. And so it's not only about producing opportunities, but it's about taking advantage of them. And we hadn't done that. There have been some balls on the ground that we weren't able to recover, for example. And so we're just going to keep working, man. We feel really good about our values regarding our turnover culture, the things that we tangibly do, the physical labor that we do week in and week out on a routine basis, not in a reactionary way relative to the fact that we're not getting turnovers right now. No, it's just a component of our everyday business. It has and will continue to be because we value that component of play. We're not getting the fruit of that labor, but we're committed to continuing to work.
Guys, in the past two games, you guys, the quarterbacks have basically averaged getting the ball out before 3 seconds because of their quick reads. What do you guys have to do to take away primary reads more consistently, and you know, and how do you kind of correct what you guys have been doing against that?
You know, there's a lot of answers to that, to be honest with you. None of it earth-shattering or interesting. You change up schematics, you play man, you play bogus zones, all of which we do. We just haven't been doing it well enough to minimize what you discussed, and so we're going to keep working.
Does the recent play of the secondary or the injury to Elliott make you more likely to pursue a trade for some secondary help?
I think we're always open for business, particularly as we get close to the trade deadline. We're always buyers. We're always trying to position ourselves to be the best that we can be this year. But that not only applies to the secondary that you asked about. I'm sure that applies to all three phases of the game.
Mike, you guys saw Jones basically like a year ago. How does he look different on tape than he did when he was in New York?
He's at the sticks of a really good offense. They're running the ball. They're taking care of it. He's got some eligibles that have been together. He just looks really comfortable in a structured system, and it's going really well for him.
Mike, just one league-wide thing here as far as about the halfway point, how you're finding the implementation and the communication to the coaches of the expedited review process.
It has been a non-issue.
Mike, there's reports of you guys worked out Valdes-Scantling yesterday and reports that you're going to sign him. Can you speak to that? And you're going to add
we're
that?
Also working out Von Bell and Eddie Jackson today. It's just a normal procedure for us on Monday and Tuesday like it is for the other 31 teams. We're continually evaluating what's out there and how we could potentially be better. If we sign them, you'll hear about it.
Mike, how has Spencer grown as an extra offensive lineman if he has to fill in for Isaac?
We have no reservations about his ability to perform and perform at a starter level. He's done it in the past. That's why we work to be inclusive regarding his participation. He's done some awesome things at an offensive lineman, reporting as eligible. And so I'm excited for him if Isaac is unavailable and he gets an opportunity.
All right.
Great. Thanks.
Sort of a very matter of fact, tolerant, non-combative or confrontational Mike Tomlin today, sort of resigned to the fact that we all saw what we saw and there isn't much to say really at this point. Now, Von Bell in his prime would be interesting. Unfortunately, he's not in his prime anymore, Limits, so that makes him less interesting and why he's trying out for the Steelers on a random Tuesday in late October, him and Eddie Jackson. Some other interesting things. We're going to bring in Brian Batko here at some point to talk about that. First, for me, was I thought the Deshaun Elliott injury was a season ender. It looked gruesome. And now it's become week to week. So that's good news.
Very.
And I thought Sayamalo, too, it didn't sound good, but he might play. I didn't have that on the docket.
No,
did you?
Not on my bingo card. I thought it was going to be Spencer Anderson right in that position because it sounded like it was bad with Sayamalo. So those could end up being two positives for them. I don't think Elliott's going to play this week.
No, he's already said he's out this week, but the fact he's been characterized as week to week to me is a borderline miracle based on what we saw, and really good news and good for him. Mike Tomlin went after the offense first again in his news conference. First thing he pointed out was you're always a little bit concerned when you're settling for field goals against good people. That made it a little bit less than comfortable at halftime. I mean, they led 16-7 and they were getting the ball. How uncomfortable could it possibly be, especially when you have an allegedly great defense? Shouldn't be that uncomfortable. Some other interesting things on the Cam comments. Tomlin said he didn't sense a lack of effort. It sure sounded like that's what Cam meant, though, right?
Yes, it definitely sounded that way. I don't know if Cam is trying to call out like the younger guys. I don't think he's speaking on like TJ or Ramsey. In that regard, it seems like they have their own fraternity of veterans, but still, Tomlin doesn't seem like it's much of an issue.
That was a long one today. We'll tell you next, and we'll play for you what Mike Tomlin said about his evaluation of Terrell Austin and also Darius Slay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's football season, and you gotta keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With 4 episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette has entered the fray. Limits didn't tell me that Brian would be in the building. What a treat it is to see him here.
I wanted it to be a surprise.
It's great to see you.
And your respect, your deference toward Bob is almost moving me to the point of tears. I asked you, I said, you can move the mannequin, the cardboard cutout of Bob, and you said you wouldn't think of that. You'll take the seat in the corner.
Absolutely. Although it's coming back to bite me because I can't hear anything in these headphones, so I might have to adjust and move somewhere else.
You can't hear anything?
No.
Limits, can you help, Brian?
I can.
Because I don't think we should move the mannequin at this point. I think that's a fixture on the show. In the meantime, Brian, while you're not able to hear me through the headphones, you can hear me across the table. And one of the first things Mike Tomlin said was the injury report, and that was actually heartening. I don't know about you, but I thought that Deshaun Elliott, the way that went down, was going to be done for the year, or certainly for multiple games, and now he's week to week. That's great news.
Yeah. Yeah. Just watching him, you could see from the press box, it was right after that second Tucker Kraft touchdown, and I guess they kicked the extra point. It was an extra point or two-point conversion. Regardless, right in front of the press box window, Elliott's getting carted off and just has his hand over his face, and it looked really bad.
Yeah.
So, and obviously, the injury itself, I couldn't believe they showed the replay because I had the broadcast up on my phone in the press box, and I wouldn't have wanted to look at that too many times. So, yeah, maybe he did dodge a season-ending injury.
Wow, the fact that that is only a hyperextended knee, great for him and could be great for the Steelers that he's not out, apparently, for a long, long term. He's out this week for sure, Tomlin said.
Yeah.
But then he left the light on for Isaac Seumalo, too, and I didn't have that on the old bingo card either. I thought he was going to be out multiple weeks. He might play, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're at least going to limit him early in the week, and I wasn't really sure what to make of that one because he did come back in and try to give it a go in the second half. So, yeah, I guess we'll see where it goes with Seumalo. He's had that pec before. I don't think Tomlin specified if it's the same pec as
last
year. I wasn't
even aware of that. He came back and made it a go and then left again, though,
yeah,
right?
I think he played one series, and then they rolled him out for the rest of the game. And Big Spencer Anderson came in, and as Aaron Rodgers astutely pointed out afterward, taking one of their pass catchers off the field.
That was pretty good.
To have that humor in the moment was, I mean, I guess if you wanted to be very anti-Aaron Rodgers, you'd say it's not the time nor the place.
Oh, no, it was great.
But
I thought
it was
great.
Yeah.
Can you hear me through the headphones? Can you hear the clips through the headphones?
Yes.
Maybe we proceed here.
Yes.
All right, Limits. Then the show is yours now. You play a clip and Brian and I will riff on it if you don't mind.
All right, Joe. Let's first start with Tomlin's opening statement and what he had to first say about who was to blame.
Good afternoon. As always, I'll start with a quick review of our last performance. As I said after the game, man, just really disappointing on a lot of fronts. But probably the most important component of it is we didn't put 60 minutes of football together. Felt like we were doing the things that we needed to do over the course of the first 30 minutes of action, although it wasn't perfect by any stretch. You know, you're always a little bit concerned when you're settling for field goals when you're playing good people. Seems like touchdowns is how it gets done in our business at this level. And so it was a little bit less than comfortable at halftime settling for 3 field goals. I think those drives were stopped by penalties and negative plays on first and 10.
I mean, it's always the offense first. He had a 16-point lead. They've won games without touchdowns. They won a game early last season in Atlanta.
Two of them. They won 2 games
and
without
Denver,
a touchdown
right?
last year.
Was Denver the other one?
I don't think.
Maybe 1 touchdown in Denver.
Definitely the Atlanta game. I can't remember the other one. Baltimore? Why do I want to say Baltimore?
Might have been, but I don't know. It's always, for him, he seems to go right to the offense, and I think a lot of people look at it like he doesn't want people or he wants to deflect attention from his defense.
Yeah,
Meanwhile, you got a 16-7 lead, and you have one of the greatest defenses of all time. That should be good enough, quite frankly.
Do you think, just when you get into the process of him laying out the presser comments, I mean, is it just like reading left to right? You start with the offense, you go to the defense, and then if there's
Tomlin
something
strikes
special
me as more intentional
mention.
Than that. But
yeah, I don't know, honestly. I imagine asking him that next week. Like, do you always start with the offense just as a matter of course, or do you think you could switch it up for us? I remember in Penn State season when things were going haywire, James Franklin forgot to do his usual review of the next opponent or something like that, and one of the guys asked, like, are you still going to do that? And then next thing you know, he's fired a couple weeks later.
Yeah, that was the Northwestern week. That was the week before
Limits?
He was fired.
I mean, in a sober analysis of the game, they scored 25 points. They gave up 35 points, almost 500 yards. The other guy had 20 straight completions. I would think that if you're breaking down a game, you might want to start with the I think it would be obvious for me anyway to start with my defense.
Yeah, 21 straight completions if you count the 2-point conversion, and I wouldn't dare want to leave that out.
So. I wouldn't either. But you raise a good point there, Brian. In the middle of, and we're talking to Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette, the fan hotline. He's on the fan hotline, essentially, although you can take a look at him on our YouTube channel. Wonderful, man. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. He was in the middle of some esoteric breakdown of what kinds of blitzes and coverage alignments the Colts use. And I said to Limits on the little intercom we have here.
Was it all the nickel formations and dime formations they use?
Why does he do this each week? because I don't think any other coach goes to these lengths to break down the other team. Sometimes it's interesting, but why do you think, because again, he's a very intentional guy with what he does. Why does he do that? Why bother? Why not just say, here's your injury update, questions, and let's get this over with? Why does he do that, Brian, in your opinion?
Well, I've talked about this with people who have been on the beat longer than me. It used to be more of a made-for-TV event, although it still is televised, I believe, on KDK Plus. So I don't know if that was the intent there or if times have changed from 2007 to 2025, as long as this guy's been on the job. I mean, hey, we all have stories to write. He could be trying to help the media. There have been times where it's like, hey, it's the end of the week. I'm doing a story on Jonathan Taylor now, and the Steelers trying to stop him. Boop, I go back to Mike Tomlin at the 8:23 mark of Tuesday, and he said 400 words on him. So it can be helpful, but it's interesting too. Like, I was talking to one of the Packers writers. They were shocked that he only does this once a week. Yeah. Now, he's available at other times in the week, but he's usually very brief if those times come up, and it tends to only be requested if there's a quarterback situation or a really big injury situation that's going down to the 11th hour. I don't know. That's just what he's always done, and that's kind of the Steelers' MO in a lot of things.
It's just
the way that it's always been done.
It's for some reason today, it especially just struck me as strange. Like,
he got really in the weeds on the Colts.
He really
defensive
did.
Personnel groupings.
And to my knowledge, no other coach comes close to doing what he does.
If you're curious, if you're curious, most other coaches around the league, they'll do like a quick Monday thing with their beat writers to talk about the last week's game.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of them will talk again, like maybe Tuesday or Wednesday.
And then you can request him. You can request him on Friday if you want him.
Yeah, and I think Wednesday or Thursday too. But yeah, I mean, he generally just gets it all out there, and these other coaches aren't talking for a half hour at a time. To be fair, they're not taking as many Q&A sessions as Tomlin does with the Steelers reporters. But yeah, we're getting philosophical now on Tomlin Tuesdays, but that's what we're here for.
Well, let's break down next what he had to say about Terrell Austin, who, if he's not under some fire, certainly should be.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's football season, and you got to keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With 4 episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.